Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Anatomy of a Criminal Enterprise Post-Decision Edition. Thanks for tuning in. On Monday, June 8th, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Boyle v. United States. In this case, the Supreme Court considered whether the RICO statute requires a criminal enterprise to have, quote, an ascertainable structure beyond that inherent in the pattern of racketeering activity. In a 7-2 decision delivered by Justice Alito, the court held that the pattern of racketeering activity may be sufficient in particular cases to demonstrate the existence of an enterprise for the purposes of the RICO statute, thus affirming the Second Circuit decision below. To discuss the decision, we welcome New York University Law Professor Rachel Barco. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Barco.
The Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, known as RICO, makes it a federal offense for any person associated with any enterprise engaged in or the activities of which affect interstate or foreign commerce to conduct or participate in the conduct of such enterprise's affairs through a pattern of racketeering activity. The pattern of racketeering activity is demonstrated by showing at least two violations of federal or state laws against murder, robbery, extortion, money laundering, and various other offenses. In addition to showing the pattern of racketeering activity, the government must also prove the existence of an enterprise. In 1981, the Supreme Court decided United States versus Turquette and explained the difference between these two elements. The court said that the enterprise is an entity, whereas the pattern of racketeering activity is a series of criminal acts. Under Turquette, the existence of the enterprise is proved by evidence of an ongoing organization, formal or informal, and by evidence that the various associates function as a continuing unit. After Turquette, the courts of appeals reached different interpretations of the meaning of the term enterprise. Some courts, like the Eighth Circuit, insisted that the jury be instructed that it must find an ascertainable structure to find an enterprise. Other circuits, including the Second Circuit, did not require any showing of a distinct, ascertainable structure separate from the pattern of illegal racketeering activity. The Seventh Circuit had reached a middle position, requiring some kind of ascertainable structure, but not necessarily one that had goals or purposes separate from the pattern of racketeering activity. In Boyle v. United States, the Supreme Court took up the question of whether enterprise required proof of an ascertainable structure beyond the pattern of racketeering activity itself. The facts of Boyle's case were straightforward. Edmund Boyle took part in a number of bank burglaries during the 1990s, along with an unchanging core group of other felons. In 2003, Boyle was indicted on counts of bank burglary, conspiracy, and violating RICO. The Federal District Court's jury instructions in Boyle's case stated that, to establish the existence of an enterprise for the RICO charge, the government had to prove that, quote, there was an ongoing organization with some sort of framework, formal or informal, for carrying out its objectives, and the various members and associates of the association functioned as a continuing unit to achieve a common purpose, end quote. The court further instructed the jury that it could find an enterprise where an association of individuals without structural hierarchy formed solely for the purpose of carrying out a pattern of racketeering acts, and stated that common sense suggests that the existence of an association in fact is oftentimes more readily proven by what it does rather than by abstract analysis of its structure. Boyle objected to these instructions and instead requested an instruction that the government was required to prove that the enterprise had an ongoing organization, a core membership that functioned as a continuing unit, and an ascertainable structural hierarchy distinct from the charged predicate acts. The district court declined to give that instruction. Boyle was convicted and sentenced to 151 months in prison. On appeal, the Second Circuit affirmed in a summary order. The order did not analyze Boyle's claim that the district court's jury instructions constituted error, noting only that it had considered his contentions and found them without merit. The Supreme Court accepted certiorari to resolve the conflict among the circuits about the meaning of a RICO enterprise and affirm the Second Circuit. Justice Alito wrote the majority opinion, which was joined by Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Scalia, Kennedy, Souter, Thomas, and Ginsburg. The court held that a RICO enterprise must indeed have a structure, but that the jury instructions need not include that specific language. The court concluded that the existence of an enterprise can be established by the bare requirements enumerated in Turquette. First, an ongoing organization with a framework, formal or informal, and second, evidence that the various associates functioned as a continuing unit. Accordingly, the court held that the district court's jury instructions were proper. The court declined to recognize more stringent requirements, such as petitioner's requested requirement that the enterprise have an ascertainable structure beyond that inherent in the pattern of racketeering activity in which it engages, or a requirement that RICO be limited to business-like entities. Justice Alito noted that, from a textual perspective, the scope of a RICO enterprise encompasses any group of individuals associated in fact, in addition to individuals associated within a legal entity, such as a partnership or corporation. The court agreed with Boyle's contention that an association in fact enterprise must have a structure, holding that RICO's terms make at least three structural features necessary: a purpose, relationships among those associated with the enterprise, and longevity sufficient to permit these associates to pursue the enterprise's purpose. Nonetheless, the court held that jury instructions need not actually use the term structure, and that the trial judge acted within his discretion in giving instructions that adequately expressed the relevant point. Justice Alito's opinion also noted that Boyle's requested phrase, beyond that inherent in the pattern of racketeering activity, is susceptible of two distinct interpretations. First, it might mean that the existence of an enterprise is a separate element from the pattern of racketeering activity that must be proved. In this interpretation, the court held that the phrase is plainly correct under Turquette. But the phrase was also susceptible to an interpretation where it means that the existence of an enterprise may never be inferred from the evidence showing that persons associated with the enterprise engaged in a pattern of racketeering activity. This latter interpretation, according to the majority, would be incorrect because Turquette also noted that the evidence used to prove the pattern of racketeering activity and the evidence establishing an enterprise may, in particular cases, coalesce. The court rejected Boyle's contention that any further requirements for the structure, such as a chain of command, fixed roles for members, a name, regular meetings, dues, established rules and regulations, disciplinary procedures, or induction or initiation ceremonies, was needed to constitute a RICO enterprise. The court reached its holding without analysis of extratextual considerations, asserting that because the statutory language is clear, there is no need to reach petitioner's remaining arguments based on statutory purpose, legislative history, or the rule of lenity. Justice Stevens dissented, joined by Justice Breyer. In contrast to the majority, Justice Stevens focused on legislative intent, arguing that Congress intended the term enterprise to refer only to business-like entities that have an existence apart from the predicate acts committed by their employees or associates. He argued that by permitting the government to prove both elements with the same evidence, the court rendered the enterprise requirement essentially meaningless in association in fact cases. Justice Stevens concluded by arguing that the facts of the case did not support a RICO conviction. Inasmuch as the group's purpose and activities were limited to sporadic acts of taking money from bank deposit boxes, Justice Stevens believed that there is no evidence in RICO's text or history that Congress intended it to reach such ad hoc associations of thieves. In rejecting the dissent's view and adopting the least stringent interpretation of enterprise in the circuits, the court's decision in Boyle expands RICO's scope beyond the federal interest it was originally intended to serve, that of eradicating organized crime from the social fabric. This expansion upsets the traditional state-federal balance in criminal law enforcement by extending federal jurisdiction to include traditional state law offenses, such as murder or robbery, as long as there are two of them to form a pattern under RICO. Boyle allows, for instance, a federal prosecutor to obtain a RICO conviction against two individuals who come together within a single state for the sole purpose of committing two or more state crimes, a far cry from the type of complex criminal organizations RICO was enacted to combat. Because RICO sentences are often much more severe than state sentences for the same predicate acts, RICO prosecutions for state crimes will undermine the state's policy judgments in determining sentencing. Furthermore, because voters will have difficulty telling which sovereign is responsible for sentencing for state crimes, an expanded RICO blurs the lines of democratic accountability. Not only does Boyle upset the traditional state-federal allocation of authority over criminal law enforcement, it puts that balance in the hands of federal prosecutors. This means that important decisions affecting the balance will be made on a case-by-case basis by actors who exercise virtually unfettered discretion and are not politically accountable. The court has previously acknowledged that unless Congress conveys its purpose clearly, it will not be deemed to have significantly changed the federal-state balance. Unfortunately, the majority's decision in Boyle ignores that sound reasoning. Boyle reaffirms that the court is unconcerned with RICO's and therefore the federal government's now expansive scope over criminal law.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.